Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
We welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It is presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is the forever world champion with the great hair, Mr. Chris Algieri. Chris, I was just on the elevator with Sergio Mora, Latin Snake, and I said I'm going to record with Chris, and he said, most interesting man alive.
Whoa. I mean, I was going to say, that's my guy, Sergio. I mean, we go way back. I'll take that, though. That's a very... strong statement.
Two world champs.
Yes. I actually, and Sergio is one of the chapters of my book, So You Want to Be a Fighter. He was one of the guys that I got to interview, and it was actually very interesting. Him and I have a lot in common in terms of like the way we came up, obviously in very different places, but we both had very tough older brothers who made us fight a lot.
So, your brother's Jack. Speaking of Jack, yeah. Last time I saw Sergio was in Vegas around Canelo fight. Munguia, and I was at my lowest, and he looked at me and he said, damn, Canobio, he's like, you put on like 10 pounds. You look like you're muscled up. And I said, you're right, Serge. You're right. Creatine.
Yes.
Creatine. Algeria's got me on the creatine supplements, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great here in Los Angeles. I'm in another hotel room. Right now I'm in the media center.
Old man Dan, the traveling man. Let's go.
Jeez. 2 weeks on the road. Orlando, Tampa, home to New York for 2 days. Back here in Los Angeles, across the country, to bring you the best content possible. And it's all thanks to our friends at PPV.com, our wonderful presenting sponsors, who will be broadcasting Crawford versus Madrimov on Saturday night. I will be in the live chat with Jim Lampley along with Lance Pugmire. No subscriptions needed. You can stream it to your phone. You can stream it to your tablet. You can stream it to your big screen TV and have a fight party. It is summer. So if you're heading out to barbecue, you're heading out to run some errands, you're hanging out in the pool, stream it to your phone. Stream it to your tablet. Mm-hmm. Put it on your big screen TV, on your outdoor pool. Whatever you got to do, no subscriptions needed, interactive chat, no buffering, clear stream. PPV.com is the way to order premier events. Crawford Madrimov, we have a link in our bio on YouTube and, of course, on iTunes as well. It's here, Chris. This big mega card is here in Los Angeles. I'm at the Fighter Hotel. I saw all the fighters hanging out in the lobby. That's always cool to see the fighters in the lobby just chilling, all their teams. And it feels big. It feels big. And they're putting on quite a scene here. I'm heading to Santa Monica later this afternoon, the pier, which I'm interested in. I love Santa Monica.
That's a beautiful place. And people at home who are listening, if you've never been to a fight hotel, which I would imagine that 99% of our listeners probably haven't, exactly what Dan said, like literally the teams and the fighters, everyone hangs out around the lobby. Like you can't go or get off the elevator without seeing multiple headline fighters and world champions, depending on the card, of course, but everybody just hangs out and it's a big hang. And that's one of the things that's great about boxing. It really is a community and it's such a small pool of people, especially at the highest level. You see the same faces all the time.
It's crazy. This one is very centrally located because in Vegas, everyone's all spread out. Like the MGM Grand, you got drunks.
And there's a lot to do.
Yeah. You got your drunks, you got your guys walking with pool floats heading to the pool. Here it's the lobby here. It's massive, the LA Live. And yesterday there was just one bus after the next coming back from the grand arrivals. You know, Jarrell Miller, Andy Ruiz, Andy Cruz, Team Madrimov. It's really cool. So if you have never been to a fight, our listeners out there, you should plan one with your buddies. And you should stay at the hotel because you don't get any access like this anywhere else in any other sport where you can just go up to an Andy Ruiz, get an autograph. You can go up to a Chris Algieri and get a selfie because that's what everyone wants to do, Chris Algieri.
Yeah, and most fighters we love our fans, you know, and we love, you know, getting approached by people. Some other sports it's not quite like that, but boxing, you know, any one of those guys, you see an Andy Ruiz, like, you know, he's going to be happy that you're coming to say hello.
Yeah, I've always said that about boxing. Like, anyone can go into those media workouts, too. Like, they used to do them at Mendez Boxing Gym for the New York Cards, or they do them at Church Street. Like, anyone can walk in, and anyone can talk to anyone. It's a very low level of entry when it comes to boxing. Media, when it comes to boxing, just getting autographs and hanging out. But this should be a really, really fun fight weekend. On this episode, we're going to go through each fight on the main card, some betting odds, courtesy of DraftKings, our picks, our predictions. But I wanted to start off the show talking about a juicy little rumor in the lightweight division. Shakur Stevenson is rumored to be fighting William Zepeda on October 13th in Saudi Arabia. That is the big Better BF B-Vol card. There is a verbal agreement. Of course, could have went to purse bids because I think Zepeda is a mandatory with the WBC. There is a verbal agreement, according to our very own PPV.com's Lance Pugmire. It would be the co-main event to Better BF B-Vol. Oscar has quickly shot it down on Twitter, which kind of leads me to believe there is some truth to it. I just think Oscar wants to be the one to
break it.
Oscar wants to be the one to break it because Oscar did meet with Turki Aşçılık. They did put out an awkward video, and I'm not surprised that now all of a sudden we have an agreement for Shakur versus Zepeda. I hope it happens. It's a fantastic fight, and I think it's the right fight right now for Shakur.
Yeah, it's a fight that you and I have been talking about on this show for quite some time. I think both guys need each other. You know, Shakur needs that. He needs that kind of style, right? Because Zepeda's very entertaining. He's going to come. He's going to bring it. But also, Shakur just needs the highest level guys to show his true skill set. Because if he shuts off some, you know, top 15 guy, completely disarms them and wins a decision, you know, that people are going to poo-poo it. But if he does that to a top two or three guy, people are going to be like, ah, see, this is the guy. He's going to beat everybody because he can do that, you know, at every level. And then Zepeda, he just needs that breakout fight. He needs one of those big name guys. If you look at his resume so far, not a lot of big names. Yes, he stepped up in competition the last couple fights, but no one at the super elite level. And Shakur is that. So I think both guys really do need each other, which makes me think that this fight is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen as soon as they're talking about. We'll see. I mean, that is a juicy rumor, as you said. Lance Pugmire is always locked in to this sport, to what's going on. Usually one of the first guys to hear what's up. So, yeah, we're going to be listening, waiting for this one with bated breath.
Yeah, I hope it does happen. I think that is the fight. Obviously, Tank Shakur is the fight, but I mean, you and I have both said, like, the timing of it, although it's there, because Shakur is a free agent, it just, business-wise, wasn't making full sense for, it was a little rushed if it was going to happen in December. I know there's some people out there right now that are going to say, shut up, Dan. Like, we don't need to marinate these fights anymore. Just give us Shakur Tank right now. But from a business standpoint, and that's how all promoters think, this is a business before it is a sport. If Shakur can go and fight Zepeda, and I expect Shakur to win that fight, he knocks off a big name. He gets a nice payday. He silences some of the doubters. He could potentially even stop Zepeda, considering how come forward Zepeda is. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy fight by any means, but I expect Shakur to win that fight. His profile is even bigger. And then we look towards the first quarter of 2025, a Tank and a Shakur fight. That, to me, is a great move for Shakur to take on a Zepeda, who fans are clamoring for him to fight. Like, there are a lot of fans out there to say, either fight Tank or fight Zepeda, who was, you know, arguably top three or four in the lightweight division. So I think from a business standpoint, for Shakur's career, get some of that Saudi money, high profile, a stylistic fight that makes a lot of sense for you, then look for Tank, who's going to be there, because Tank needs dance partners.
No question, business-wise, this makes a ton of sense, but I'm going to go with those fans who are telling you to shut up. I want the fights now.
There's a lot of them in the comment sections. Yeah. I love our YouTube comments.
I want the fight now. And, you know, we're living in an era where we're not getting the fights when we really want them, or when they should really happen, I should say. So if it were to be next, listen, no one's going to be mad about it. But more realistically, from our many years in this sport, yeah, it's more likely going to be Zepeda first and then Tank down the line, maybe not even next, which is really unfortunate. But good thing is both those guys are still young. And I think what is Tank is about to be 30, if he is 29, 30. Shakur is like 27. So we do have a little bit of time before we start. I'm telling you, that number, 33, that's the number when everything starts to change. So as long as we can get these guys in before that number, I think we're in a good place. But also, you don't want to over-marinate, right? But in cooking, if you over-marinate, what happens? It gets too salty. And, you know, nobody wants a salty fight. You know, you don't want to over-salt, over-marinate that type of fight. So sooner the better. But business wise, if Shakur can make that paper right now with a guy like you said, Zepeda, who I think is actually tailor made for Shakur, I think that would be a very smart business move for him, especially because obviously he's looking for the big paydays. He had a really nice deal rolled out for Top Rank and he walked away from it. So he is looking for that money. In comes Turki Alalshehk. We got some Saudi money, Riyadh season. That's a great undercard to be on if it is to end up there. I'm all for that fight next.
Yeah, apparently that fight card, it was supposed to happen in what, August?
Was it August?
No, June 1st.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be that turned into the 5-on-5. But that one is being streamed on like ESPN. It's not just a strict DAZN one. Like there's gonna be a lot of eyeballs on that fight to begin with, and it's also gonna be a lot out there too. I know Shakur is set on being a main event fighter, but there's nothing wrong with being the co-main event to a undisputed fight between two guys that everyone's wanted to see fight. It does make a lot of sense. And of course, if 33 is the cutoff, what does it mean for a 37-year-old Dan Canobio?
It means you're probably going to need more than creatine soon. That's going to be my professional opinion.
Well, you told me. This is what you told me. You said, Dan, I want to see you consistently work out for 3 months, and then we can step into the lab.
Yeah,
I think I'm ready to step into the lab.
Let's see what you can do in the gym before we step to the lab. We don't need the performance enhancers just yet. You're making good progress. Okay. You're looking good. Okay. People are noticing.
Thanks. People are noticing. That's all that matters. People are noticing. That's all that matters to me.
Perception is reality, Dan. Perception
is reality. Though, Chris. It's really hard to work out on the road. There's 14 days between Florida and.
Bro, you're talking to the guy. You cannot. It's so funny. You're coming to me with a, oh man, she's traveling 2 weeks in a row. Dude, I've been doing this for like 8 years. I have been nonstop for the past literally 6 years.
I need vitamins. Give me some wisdom. I need vitamins. Everyone out there that travels a lot and tries to keep up with a routine. This is a little segment for you right now.
I got a pill case each day that I travel with. So I know.
And you work out.
Yep. And I work out wherever I am.
Two or three workouts in.
Okay.
Got a little sick at the end of the Florida trip, of course.
Well, Florida, man. I mean, you know, you're doing meth and it happens.
I mean, it's only right at the end of a Florida trip that I get
doing meth and wrestling alligators. Your immune system tends to suffer.
Got a little Florida flu at the end, but I battled and I'm here. I mean, I don't even know where I woke up this morning. I didn't honestly that quick second where you don't know where you are.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I woke up this morning in this hotel room and I was like, where am I? And I looked out the window. I said, oh shit, Los Angeles. Okay.
Once the world opened up after the pandemic, I was just like, I was traveling three weekends a month. And I was having that deja vu, just like in the movie Fight Club. It's like, you wake up in this city. You're like, what time zone is it? That was my life for like 2 years.
I love it. I'm not going to complain.
No,
I'm not
going to
complain at all. So after this trip, kind of slows down a little bit. Then September is insane with Canelo and some MVP work and some Amazon Prime cards.
I'm excited for us to be back in Vegas for a Canelo fight week, man. The Mexican fans. And then we got some Puerto Rican fans with Berlanga. We're going to have East Coast people. We're East Coast people. It's going to be a good time.
It is going to be a good time. It's also UFC Sphere.
Yeah. So,
Rob.
It is going to be, It's going to be lush that weekend.
We better start making our dinner reservations now.
Sure. Well, I mean, we got connects. We got connects.
we have connects.
We show up, they pull a table out of the back. They throw the whoosh, right over. They throw the tablecloth over it. Silverware.
Henry Hill style. We go in through the kitchen.
We walk through the kitchen. Don't even have to look at the menu. You know, the hors d'oeuvres come out. Yeah, we're good.
We're good. Seafood towers all day. Yep, so we're coming to you from Los Angeles. We're here for this big Riyadh season. I want to shake hands with Turki Alalshehk. I'm going to do that in Santa Monica. If you saw this, Larry Merchant, it lives in Santa Monica.
Did not know that.
Yeah, he's been living in Santa Monica forever. And he came to the Grand Arrivals yesterday, and there was a photo op with Lampley and Larry Merchant.
I did see that.
It's making the rounds on Twitter, which is just so cool. I hope Larry's there today. I hope he pulls another one. I would like to shake his hand, and I wonder if he remembers me as a kid, because he hated CompuBox, Larry Merchant. Then he came around on it, and then we became wonderful family friends. So hopefully I see him.
I love the nostalgia, especially when it comes to HBO, man. I was talking about HBO just recently. I don't know who I was talking to, but it was just like, man, those were the days. Those were the days.
They really were. I mean, that's the one thing. Like, boxing is so fragmented. The fans have all their opinions, and the fans are fragmented. But if you put 10 boxing fans in a room, and you bring up, you just say HBO boxing, and you leave the room, the whole room just starts chatting, and they're getting along. They're giving their favorite memories, fights, music, everything. I'm getting chills just thinking about. Chris, you won a world championship on HBO.
Thank God I got that fight in before they closed up shop. But yeah, that was awesome. I know that was my first time ever doing a fighter meeting, like a legit fighter meeting. Was HBO. It was like Jim Lampley, Kellerman, and Ward. Yeah, that was my first fighter meeting, being on that side of the table. And the only thing I didn't get to do is I never got to commentate for HBO. That was the one thing that I think, thinking back, my biggest regret. I did have a tryout though. I did have a tryout for HBO. I got a call fight with Jim, and
wow,
yeah, yep. That was in when did HBO
after Pacquiao?
Yes, it was right after Pacquiao. When did HBO fold up?
2018.
Yeah, so it was 2015, and it was right before I signed my multi-fight deal with PBC, which is going to be aired on Showtime. So I don't think they wanted to bring me on if I was going to be fighting on Showtime. Because they had, at the time, they had Andre Ward and they had Roy Jones Jr., who were both still fighting as commentators. Right. And they were going to have me as a bench guy, just in case one of those two guys were fighting, they could have me step in.
Right.
But then once that deal came and I announced the con fight, all the communication ended. So I think
you made the right decision there. But
yeah, no, absolutely. I was still an active, very active fighter. So
you were in your prime and you were fighting Amir Khan. You were fighting Errol Spence.
Making very, very good money.
So. Man. Making that Algeria money.
But it would have been cool. It would have been cool to call the fight on HBO, man. That would have been...
I mean, yeah, it's one thing. Okay, you had a pretty amazing career. It's just one thing that you just want to go back is to call a fight with Jim. But now we work with Jim Lampley for PPV.com.
Yeah,
that's a very
good point.
Jim Lampley, he's here. And he's in his glory. I think he's doing Rich Eisen show. You know, this was his stomping grounds for years at Los Angeles. And, you know, I don't know why I say it like that. Los Angeles. Yeah. Los Angeles.
You're showing your East Coast. You're showing your East Coast, Dan.
I can't wait to be back on the East Coast. I'm actually happy to be out here. I'm going to take it all in. We're going to do some street interviews later this afternoon for DraftKings, our other wonderful partners. So a lot of content.
We get the coolest partners.
We really do. PPV.com and DraftKings. Not bad for a podcast that we just started a couple of years ago. And we're looking for more partners too. If you're listening and you would like to sponsor us and you like to send us to big fights, you like to be on our Instagram, which pops off, and our TikTok, which is approaching 50,000 loyal followers, you know where to hit me up. Let's get into this fight card and let's break it all down. We'll start with the first fight of the night, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna go through it, spend a few minutes on each fight, talk about the odds, give our picks, our thoughts, like we usually do. Andy Cruz, Cuban sensation who won a gold medal at the previous Olympics, is fighting Antonio Moran, who is a veteran, 10 rounds, lightweight division. Chris, Andy Cruz, according to DraftKings, is a -2,000 favorite. You know about Andy Cruz, he is a future world champion. He is very, very good. Moran has fought Haney, Barboza, Jermaine Ortiz. Only been stopped once by Devin Haney years ago. I think Andy Cruz wins this quite comfortably, and I'm just excited to watch him fight.
I actually know Antonio Moran very well also. He is the winningest Pro Box TV fighter ever. Undefeated on Pro Box TV. He won the last chance tournament, where I think he had to win like three or four fights in a row against other very, very tough guys.
That's cool.
I think this is at 140 too. So, yeah, very, very capable guy. We had him on our air, I believe, in his last fight. He looked very good, very strong, very durable. It looks like he's really coming into his own. But that's not going to be enough for Andy Cruz. I am very high on Andy Cruz. I think he is absolutely awesome. I think he could step in with the top guys in the division now. He's that good. I think he is one of those guys coming from the amateurs who's going to move up the ladder very, very, very fast. Probably going to be in a title fight within the next year or so, because he does have that kind of skill set. I don't think he stops Moran. Moran's pretty durable. But yeah, I think he's going to dominate. I think that -2,000 favorite is about right.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that fight unless you are laundering money. then
unless
go right
need,
ahead.
Unless you need to go show up in the red, you know, then yes.
Go ahead and do that. But Andy Cruz, he has that look, man. It's him, Abdullah Mason, Keyshawn Davis, the future of 135. I don't know how long he'll stay at 135, Andy Cruz, but he's 28 years old. He's 3-0.
Yeah, he's the oldest of that group that you just mentioned.
Yeah, because he had
least,
the
least amount of fights because it's crazy amateur background.
Yeah, but he's had three 10 round fights already.
Against guys that have a ton of fights. Like, they all have a ton of fights.
His first fight was against Juan Carlos Burgos, and he went the distance. And he won
every second of that fight.
100 to 90, 190, 98, 92.
But he looks good when he does it, and he's fun to watch. That's the thing I really like about him. Yeah, he's most likely going to go to a decision. He's not a puncher by any means, but he's physically strong. He does look to do damage on guys. He's fun to watch, even though he's a boxer.
Yeah, I like him a lot, and you're tuning into the future when you watch an Andy Cruz fight. Only a matter of time before they really step up the competition. I think Antonio Moran, like you just illustrated, great measuring stick for him. If he stops him, even better. If he goes distance with him and he dominates him, which I think is going to happen, that's great. We can talk about Andy Cruz and all the potential big-time fights that will come down the pipeline for him. Moving on to the next fight, David Morrell making his 175-pound debut versus another pro box veteran, Hot Rod. 12 rounds, vacant WBA light-heavy regular title on the line. I don't know what that means. DraftKings doesn't have odds on this, but I know that Morrell is a very, very wide favorite, which I think is a little disrespectful to Hot Rod. You've called his last fight against Sullivan Barrera. What you see in Hot Rod, and could we potentially see an upset in this fight?
I've been in the gym with Hot Rod as well. I used to go over to Clearwater Beach and spar with Clarence Booth, Mr.
Ooh, wow.
Hot Rod was in the gym over there. He's been coming to Boca now actually to spar with some guys that we have on our side. So I know Hot Rod very well also. And yeah, he's a very live guy. He's very, very good. This is his weight class. David Morrell, first time fighting at 175, stepping up in weight, but not in class. David Morrell he's another one that I look at almost like I look very much how I look at Andy Cruz. Like, he is tremendous. David Morrell is a physical phenom. He is super talented, big amateur background. He's got power. He's built for the pros. And I was surprised, when they put these guys together, because Hot Rod's usually a guy, tall, long, wide, looks like so imposing next to his opponents, not next to David. Morrell's got the same kind of body type. He's got that tall, long, rangy, spidery body, but man, can he punch, and man, is he smooth, and he's dangerous. He understands how good he is and fights with tremendous confidence. So yeah. I don't think we're going to see an upset here. Sorry, Hot Rod. I just think that David Morrell is the truth.
Yeah, he's really good, and now he's at 175, and now all of a sudden 175 has Beterbiev, Bivol, who've been there for years.
It's one of the best weight classes in the world now, like literally.
Dude, the top four there is really, really good. You got the Beterbiev and Bivol, so the old guard, who have been there forever and are pound-for-pound greats. Then you have Benavidez, and you have David Morrell, who should probably fight each other. Will they? That's what I want to see. But David Morrell's 10-0 with 9 knockouts. This is a nice step up for him. As for Hot Rod, 5-fight win streak. His only 2 losses are to Beterbiev and Marcus Brown. Those are, 2. Beterbiev is Beterbiev. Marcus Brown is a former world champion.
A lot of people thought he beat Marcus Brown that night.
Right. And Marcus Brown has been around for a while, has fought some of the elites there too. Like this fight a lot. Like David Morrell a lot. There are some people out there that are clamoring to fight better competition. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy to find someone that wants to get into the ring with Morrell, who isn't the most known name in boxing, but damn, is he good. That's usually a recipe for fighters either overpricing themselves or just straight up not wanting to fight him. But he's starting to gain a lot of momentum, and now he's in a weight class with, I just illustrated, with some bigger names, and he's fighting on a Saudi card. They can use him again. So I think the sky's the limit for Morrell, and I think we're going to see him. This is his biggest stage, and I think a lot of fans that don't know David Morrell will know the name David Morrell come Saturday night. No odds on this, so can't bet on this one on DraftKings unless they add it later in the week. All right, Chris, we're moving up to the heavyweights. I think this could steal the show, this heavyweight fight right here. Jared Anderson, Martin Bacoli, 10 rounds. Jared Anderson is a minus 195 favorite. So it's not like this is some mismatch on paper that a lot of Anderson's fights have been, especially early on. I think this could be fight of the night. I think this is a huge step for Anderson. I think it's a huge statement for Anderson if he can stop Bacoli. Not only stop, just beat him. I just think that this is a big-time moment for Jared Anderson.
Yeah, I talked about this fight in my article for Algeria School of Thought.
And, damn right.
And I think this is a really big step up for Jared Anderson. I think it's actually a really tough fight. Martin Bacoli isn't really known on this side of the world, but man, he is a super durable guy. He's been in with tough competition. He's got a lot of power. He's a good finisher. He's durable. He's big. This is a tough fight, man. I think it's actually a step up for Jared Anderson. People are going to talk about the Charles Martin fight. Yes, that was a step up fight. Yes, he struggled the points, but I thought that was a really good win against a very, very capable former champion. Bacoli, less known, not a former champion, but I think is actually even more dangerous. I believe Jared Anderson is the thing we all think he is. So this is going to be his moment to show it. He's going to, I think, show some different levels that we haven't seen quite yet. I think Bacoli's going to be able to push him to certain places, and he's going to come out his win. I don't know if he's going to stop Bacoli. I do think we're going to a decision, but I got Jared Anderson in this one.
Yeah, I got Anderson as well. Saw him in the lobby. He is a specimen, man. He is.
Super athlete. Absolutely.
Super. He's just like the perfect, like, height and for a model. He's not huge, though. Like, he's not like, no. He's like a Fury size. He's not Joshua size. Like, he looks like he could play, you know, DM.
NFL, and he could be in anything. He could be in anything. Like, he's that level of athlete. Like, you can see him in the NBA. You can see him in NFL.
Yeah.
We normally don't get those type of athletes in our sport because they are doing those other sports where it's a lot easier to make money. But yeah, we got Jared Anderson, and we're lucky about that.
Yeah, I think it was like I've seen him up close a few times in some of these. He's fought at MSG before, but I saw him yesterday come out of one of those vans in the lobby, and he was just looking just very in very, very good shape. He's now a ambassador to Riyadh season. They're throwing him some dough. The thing with Anderson is it's always above the shoulders. Does he want to box? He has come out and said that I only box for money. I don't really care too much about the accolades. They're already slapped the great next great U.S. heavyweight moniker on him, which media does, guilty of that. And we'll see. This is a big step up. This is not just some throw-in fight. This isn't like his last fight that was in, Tulsa, Oklahoma on ESPN. Like, this is a big-time step up. He has fought – it's been a while since that Charles Martin fight, where he looked pretty good in that one. Looking at his,
but he got a lot of heat for that. A lot of heat for that fight.
I don't understand. Like, Charles Martin's crafty.
Yeah, and he's another big athletic guy, and he's got power, and he's former world champion. Yeah, I don't. That was an interesting take that everyone had on that one. I thought I marked that very highly because I think Charles Martin's very good.
He was 251 for his last fight against Riyadh Mehri, who was that kickboxer dude that did not stand a chance. 240 for Rudenko, and then he was 243. So I think he'll come in. We'll see at the weigh-in where he comes in. He looks in really good shape.
Dude, Bacoli was 299 his last fight against Carlos Takam. So he's a big boy.
I saw him.
Normally he's around 280. Yeah, no, normally he's 280, but still, even 280 is massive.
There's 299 and a half. Wow. Yeah,
big guy.
And he got Takam out of there, which is not easy. Talk about durable heavyweight.
He went to the body. He dropped him three times with body shots in that fourth round to get the finish. And like you said, Carlos Takam is very, very durable. He's been in world-class guys for years. So that's a pretty impressive stoppage.
He's also beat Tony Yoka in May of 2022.
Took his O.
So he's been in there with Mars Watch. Michael Hunter was his only loss. Yes, his only loss. Only been stopped once.
He stopped Wok too. And Wok, I remember Wok back in 2019 because he was coming to the gym to spar with Adam Konaksky. And Mock was back then was very tough and durable. Not a kind of guy who got stopped. So Bacoli stopping him speaks highly. That's what I said, man. This guy's been in with some good fighters and has some really, really good wins.
Yeah, he's on a run. He's on a run right now. He's on his trending upward, Martin Bacoli, and Jared Anderson is always trending upward. So perfect fight in the heavyweight division. Great matchmaking. Type of fight you only will see on a Riyadh card. It's like the fourth fight of the night, and it's like
risky fight. Hard fight to risky. Call a winner.
Risky fight. Yes, you're right. It's the fourth fight of the – I could be wrong. It's a very long night of fights. I like Jared Anderson. I like him decision. Like you said, -195 favorite. Not bad value there. Moving on to another heavyweight fight that's either going to be amazing or it's going to be 12 rounds of slop. And that is our boy, Jarrell Miller, taking on Andy Ruiz. Andy Ruiz is back. I saw him in the lobby wearing a bright green shirt, has a giant entourage, looking in good shape. Jarrell Miller way down, down like 30, 40 pounds. Miller coming off that loss to Dubois. Andy Ruiz hasn't fought in years, but is calling out the biggest names in the sport because of that big win over Joshua in 2019. Andy Ruiz is a minus 350 favorite, so not a lot of respect for Jarrell Miller. Do you see a stoppage here? Miller is very, very durable. Ruiz is very fast, but also doesn't throw a lot of punches. Interesting fight.
I don't see a stoppage here. I think Andy... I mean, it really depends on what version of Andy shows up. I mean, Andy's very, very talented, very good, very fast hands, you know, a high level. He's fought at the highest level. He's been a world champion. We all know he knocked out Anthony Joshua, first ever Mexican heavyweight champion of the world. Very, very good. But he's been out of the ring for so long. He looks to be fit. I mean, we'll see. He likes to bang. Jarrell likes to bang. I think this is actually going to be a good fight. You mentioned it's going to be really good or slop. I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I think there's going to be some slop in there. But I do think
12 rounds.
I think we're going to get some action, but I think we're going to go 12. Jarrell is very durable. You know, Dubois, who turned out to be a humongous puncher, he went 10 with him, got stopped in the very last round. So I think Jarrell is going to be durable enough and active enough to go the distance, but I'm going to lean towards Andy Ruiz just because of more more world-class experience, even though he's been inactive.
Dude, I got Andy Ruiz's box rec up right now, and man, it is just such an interesting career. 2019, obviously the Joshua win. 2019, the Joshua rematch, comes in
loss,
overweight, doesn't train, loses every minute of that fight, and then he takes 2 years off because he made probably $15 million from those two Joshua fights. Fights Chris Arreola, gets dropped by Arreola, has to rally back for unanimous decision win. Takes another year off. Fights Luis Ortiz. And didn't he go down? Ruiz cut under left eye and punches around. Ortiz went down.
No, Ortiz went down a few times.
Yeah, Ortiz went down a few times, but it's not like Ruiz looked great in that fight. But one, two, three, four fights since 2019. And now he says he's dedicated. Now he says, I want Usyk. I want Fury. I want Joshua. It's just like, it's hard to take Andy Ruiz serious. I think he has all the talent in the world. I love watching him fight. He brings something to the table in the heavyweight division that is different than the others, with the blistering hand speed. You know, being a Mexican American is really cool, and he used that to his advantage when he beat Joshua. But man, that time off, Chris, you can attest to this. Those are some wide, wide gaps in your resume. Those are some long, long layoffs. Those are some a guy to me that I don't feel is 100% dedicated. He got a taste of all the money and then was like, really, really want to do this? Now he's like, sees the Saudi money.
Yeah, well, there's no question that discipline and, you know, his ability to stick to the game plan in the sport, and especially in between fights, you know, there's a problem there. And the Twitter sphere had a whole mess of stuff going on, talking about what he's doing outside of the ring.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of his ex-girlfriends or ex-wife or something was dropping a ton of information.
Selling weed, smoking
weed,
partying.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. Yeah, whether, you know, that's true or not. But obviously, whatever's going on in his home is not orderly. I think that part has been tough. Also, making all that money. But the guy is so talented. I mean, he's got a ton of skill. He's got a ton of physical gifts, the hand speed, the power, the durability, you know, the heart. Anthony Joshua dropped him as well in the fight that he won. He went down hard, really hard with a left hook, and he came back. I think it was a left hook. And then, you know, comes, got his head spun around, nasty knockdown, gets up and just, you know, powers through and catches Joshua and finishes him, obviously. But he's just got so many of the things that you want in a heavyweight, and it's a shame that he hasn't been active. But I don't know, we've seen some interviews. He looks to be in shape. He's saying all the right things, whether he is or he's not, we'll see. But I still think he has enough left in the tank that he can get some big fights.
Yeah, but you bring up like that awesome Joshua fight 5 years ago. Crazy.
Yeah.
Five years ago.
I was on the undercard.
Yeah. You were still active. Like, this show didn't exist or in its the form that it's in now. I just don't know what
I won a title eliminator on that. I was still getting ready for world title fights. Like, that was a long time ago.
I just don't know what his end game is. I don't know. He's not getting Fury. He's not getting Usyk. Like, he's not getting Joshua. Like he wants the Joshua.
He's going to call out Joshua, of course. You know, he's like, oh, we're 1-1. Let's run it back. You know, like, of course.
My point is, like,
I wouldn't mind seeing him with Daniel Dubois.
If Dubois loses?
Yeah, if Joshua gets past Dubois, I wouldn't mind Andy Ruiz, Daniel
Dubois. He said Joseph Parker, which I think he already fought Parker. It was a really
close
fight.
He lost to Parker. Yeah, super right. close fight, really good fight, and Parker's on a bit of a run. And also, Parker's having trouble finding a dance partner. That fight makes a lot of sense,
I think that's realistic, like, for Ruiz. Like, when I heard him say, I want to fight Joseph Parker, okay, yes. That to me, that's the right fight for you next. Get past Miller,
shows you that's not an easy fight. So he wants real fights, and he's being realistic about what kind of fights he can get if you call out a guy like Parker. Nobody's calling out Parker. Nobody wants to fight Parker. He's been upsetting guys lately. He's been looking good. But, like, I mean, looking good for what he, you know, how he fights, because people just don't really like the way he fights. And he doesn't garner a lot of attention, but it's a tough fight. Parker is very, very good. So that's the right kind of mindset to call out a guy like Parker.
Right. Of course, he's going to mention the Joshuas and the Usyks and the Furies, because this is a former heavyweight champion, first Mexican-American heavyweight champion. He has the name recognition still. It's just,
but that's like, that's like anyone in and around Canelo calling out Canelo. It's like, yeah, of course. Of course you want the Canelo fight.
You have to do that. If you don't do that, then you're not doing your career correctly.
You're not relevant.
But Parker is the right move. So he beats Miller. I would not be shocked to see Ruiz Parker on another Saudi Riyadh type of card. That makes sense to me. But we'll
if our guy Miller wins, you know, he's calling. He's going right to Joshua. he's calling Joshua out right away. Speaking of calling,
the storyline is there. Yeah. The storyline is there from 2019 and their buildup, which was trending and to be such a massive talk about. We always like to rewrite history. What if Jarrell Miller didn't do every steroid under the sun and did not get suspended? He fights Joshua. Joshua beats him.
I don't know. Joshua there was a lot of talk around that fight that Joshua was going into the fight concussed. He wasn't there mentally,
When are we going to hear about that? Yeah. When are we going to get the real story? I feel like Joshua
need to be retired.
Yeah. Because there's so many conspiracies from that night. There's the, you know, he was knocked out in sparring. He had a panic attack in the dressing room. If you go back and watch the pre-fight, like they show Joshua's door and it doesn't open. So then they go back to the broadcast and they fill. They go back to the door, doesn't open. Door swings open and everyone in that room looks like they just saw Jesus. Like his dad is in the back, like pissed off. Turns out his dad didn't want him to make that walk. Eddie Hearn looks really, really concerned. Doesn't have that big smile on his face. Joshua looks like a shell of himself. And then he goes in there and wins.
Ever since that fight, Eddie Hearn looks he looks very concerned when Joshua fights.
Well, that's his guy. But like we talk about rewriting history, and I think Joshua, in a weird way, needed that. Like that, he had like two or three years after that where it was pretty rough for him in terms of everyone writing him off, himself changing trainers, not believing in himself. But look at him now. I think we're seeing the best version of Joshua right now, hardened, going for his third world title against Dubois. Could be potentially last man standing in the heavyweight division. Nice little slice of history there. Co-main event. This is the people's main event. There's a lot of Pitbull Cruz fans in this hotel lobby. There's a lot of Pitbull Cruz fans in the Southern California area. He is defending his WBA 140 belt for the first time, which he took off of Rolly. He's fighting Jose Valenzuela, who is in great shape, who is upset-minded. Of course, this is 12 rounds. Not a lot of respect for Valenzuela, Chris. Minus 450. Cruz is the favorite here. Venezuela. I don't know, man. So some
you
people out there,
you
some
better
versus...
put some respect to Jose Valenzuela, because he's a dangerous guy, man. He's a sharpshooter. I'm talking about everybody else. I know you know. Boxing heads know. Jose Valenzuela is a dangerous guy. He's a sharpshooter. He's got good power. He's willing to mix it up. He's willing to be in there. And what makes him dangerous, I think, is exactly going to be his downfall, because he is willing to sit in the pocket and trade and throw shots, those sharpshooting shots. It makes me think of the Edwin De Los Santos fight, where he got dropped a couple times, but then dropped De Los Santos. He hurt him several times. It was a lot of like, you hit me, I hit you at the same time, and I hurt you. Like Valenzuela, he will bite down and trade. And I think with Isak Cruz, he's going to have some success, especially early on. This has shootout written all over it. I actually think this is going to steal the show for as long as it lasts. But I just think Isak Cruz is on a tear, man. He's been looking really impressive. I think he's a lot more talented than people give him credit for. He's not just a two-fisted Mexican style bruiser. Whatever that means, Mexican style. Like everybody talks about, oh, Mexican style. Some of the smartest guys in boxing, you know, in our history, some of those technical guys have been Mexican. So it's kind of funny. It's kind of a misnomer that we all throw around. But Isaac Cruz is not going to walk away from a fight, and neither will Jose Valenzuela. So I think we have a great fight on our hands. But just this matchup is tough. Valenzuela's got 15 fights. It's so crazy how many tough fights this kid's had in a row. And, you know, he's riding high. He came off, you know, the
knocked out Colbert.
The knockout of a contender for knockout of the year against Colbert, who had beat him, had a win over him. So he got a revenge and a big knockout.
I thought he beat Colbert.
Yeah, a lot of people did, you know, but, you know, regardless, it was a close fight. But, he put all questions to rest in the rematch. So that feels good. I think they had some personal bet going in that one, too. So there was some bad blood as well. But Valenzuela, he looks really locked in, ready, which I think bodes well for the action of the fight. But, man, I got Cruz by stoppage in the middle, late rounds.
Did you see the height difference? I mean, there's always going to be a height difference with Cruz, especially if he stays at 140. Yeah. The height difference is crazy. Not that that matters. I mean, Cruz has been fighting at a disadvantage when it comes to that pretty much his whole career.
He's good at fighting tall guys.
Right. Some guys, I mean, it means nothing. They can just hammer to the body and look what he did to Rolly, who had a height advantage over him. But going back to Venezuela.
And who can also punch. Punch.
Yeah, that helps. And 2022 was when PBC was really high in Venezuela, and he had that, and De Los Santos took him out, and that was De Los Santos's coming out party. And then obviously he gets the fight with Shakur. Valenzuela was rumored to fight, was going to get in there with Tank. He got derailed a little bit with that Colbert loss, especially the controversial decision. Avenges that by knocking out Colbert. Now he takes on a really tough assignment in Isaac Cruz. And over to Isaac Cruz, like, he is a title holder at 140 pounds, one of the hottest divisions in boxing. He is rumored to fight Tank again in a rematch. He went the distance with Tank. Tank had a broken hand or a hand injury. I mean, there's a lot of narratives around Isaac Cruz's career right now, but you cannot deny that he is a big-time star. Like, we saw that in the Rolly fight. The crowd was going nuts for him. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential fights for Isaac Cruz out there at 135 and 140. Should he get past Valenzuela?
Absolutely. I mean, the Mexican fans are really behind him, which is big, which is probably one of the reasons he's on this card. But Valenzuela, I mean, every interview I've seen, like, he just looks super dialed in and ready for this fight. Like, he doesn't look like he believes those odds by any means. Huge opportunities for him, obviously, could potentially be a world champion. But I think Isaac Cruz is just on a different level. He's got so much experience. And again, he's on that momentum. He's looking for big fights. And I think he's going to be in a lot of big fights. And at 140, I don't think he's going back down to 135. I don't think he needs to. I think there's a lot of good big fights.
Tank.
Agreed. If the tank rematch became available, I could see him going back down to 35. But man, that Teofimo fight's a big one. Teofimo, Isaac Cruz, that's a huge fight. You put those two guys together, and Teofimo actually spoke about Cruz because he said that, listen, that's the kind of status fight that I need right now. And I agree. I mean, you bring Mexican fans, and you Teofimo gets to be Teofimo, and we know the way he is against really dangerous guys, and Cruz is very dangerous. So I really like that fight. I'd love to see that sooner than later. You know, plus it's a unification fight at 140. But then we're talking as if he's already beaten Valenzuela. So let's see what happens. Anything can happen, man. This is boxing.
Yep. Anything can happen, especially on these cards. Plus 330 value for Venezuela as the underdog. I was talking to some members of Cruz's camp, and they don't see a Tank fight happening this year. They say if it happens, it's going to be next year. So take that for whatever.
We're halfway through the year. That's a big fight to make.
Yeah, I don't know who Gervonta's fighting in December. He's fighting someone in December. I just don't know who. Main event time. Terrence Crawford is back in the ring for the first time in over a year. He's fighting Israel Madrimov for Madrimov's WBA super welterweight title. Madrimov's second fight in 148 days. Crawford, of course, is pound for pound top three in the game right now. It's his first fight at 154 pounds. He wiped out 147. He wiped out 140. He wiped out 135. And now he has his sights set on 154 and beyond. Canelo Alvarez is lurking for Terrence Crawford. Some of the odds on this fight, minus 700 favorite for Crawford. So big time, wide, wide odds. Crawford by decision, which I like, is plus 190. So you can get plus money on Crawford by decision. He does have that 11 straight knockouts Crawford, 8 of which have come at welterweight. Crawford by stoppage is minus 140. Crawford late, rounds 10 through 12, plus 3,500, Chris.
Wow. These are some
juicy, juicy odds. So if you believe Crawford still has that power, and it's going to take him a little bit of time to break down Madrimov, who is a big 154-pounder, a true 154-pounder, that late Crawford stoppage at plus 3,500 is potentially worth dabbling on.
Dude, that's a wild number.
It is like when you get to the rounds, they jack up the odds because it's just so specific. But 10 through 12, I mean, that means that's three rounds. You have three rounds to play with. And for plus 3,500 for a finisher like Crawford.
Yeah. We were talking about, you know, our picks before the show, and, you know, we had to do our final picks. And you asked me, you know, what I thought was going to happen. I was like, I got Crawford. I think it's going to be a good fight early. I think Madrimov is going to impress. But I got Crawford doing what he does and finding his rhythm and his timing. You know, probably UD, you know, decision, maybe late stop. And like, oh, we got to pick one. I'm like, I'm going to go late stop. And then I was just watching some tape. I'm sticking with late stop because late stop. I was watching the Agbeko fight, which I actually got the call for DAZN. And there's some things that he does that Crawford does really, really well. Some things that Agbeko was able to do, because Agbeko is another guy with those long arms. I'm saying his wrong name. Is his name wrong? Agbekwe? Anyway,
I don't know how to say it either, but
and he was doing some really nice posting with that lead hand to shut off the offense of Israel. And then he was landing some of his own shots. I mean, those are things that Crawford mastered, you know, his judge of distance, his ability to find holes in defense. So and just, you know, getting hit with jabs, like getting hit by with jabs, what it got from a guy like that. You know, that's not Terrence Crawford. I don't care what size he is. So I'm sticking with the late stop for Terrence Crawford. I see him doing what he does because he's a nasty finisher, man. He's a mean in there. So if he finds
11
a hole,
straight stoppages.
Yeah, if he finds a hole and he finds a way that he's able to hurt you, the guy doesn't get tired and he just builds, waits no energy and just unloads. So I think all that big fight experience is really going to pay off, you know, because Madrimov, this is, you know, he doesn't have that many fights. He's only got, this is only his 12th 10. Fight. Yeah,
12 fight.
10 wins. Yeah, you know, so yeah, and also is Madrimov, I looked up, has only been 12 one time. That was the final straw why I picked a stoppage, because I'm like, he's been 12 one time, you know, against Eric Walker, who is by no means world class.
I remember him. I called a few of his fights.
Exactly. Like a local New Yorker guy. He fought Patrick Day. He lost to Patrick Day. So,
dude, Eric Walker had him was up on the cards, and they had that. Yeah. He flew out of the ring with that knockout. Madrimov doesn't he is very good, but he doesn't have the best opponent, doesn't have the best resume. And he has that Soro saga where he had the no contest. And, like, point I'm trying to make is he has not been in the ring with anyone close to Terrence Crawford. Even Crawford at 37. Even Crawford coming off of a 365-plus day layoff. Even Crawford fighting at 154 for the first time. I do think there will be – it's going to be tight, I think, for the first six rounds. I think just the way Crawford fights, although in the Avnesian fight – Crawford threw 100 punches around, but most of those were flicking jabs. Mm-hmm. Crawford's going to try to control touch. Yeah, that was an interesting tactic from Crawford, which we had not seen. For the most part, Crawford throws in the 40, high 40s, tries to control the fight with his long arms with that jab. Can't get hit. I see him coming out a little cautious, Crawford, and then late, stepping on the gas pedal. Whether he gets him out of there would be insanely impressive. Then we're talking 12 straight knockouts across three different divisions. And the thing, too, is like this is a guy who started his career at 135. And a majority of this, he has 11 straight knockouts. 8 of them have come at welterweight, at his highest weight. So he hit the power is carrying. The power
at 35,
is
he wasn't
up.
Even a puncher. I think he went 12 the most times ever at 135. He was not a puncher at 135. And then 40, he started knocking everybody out. Still went the distance with Postal. You know, went late with some guys, and then welterweight, he was just a completely different guy, just a monster. So I don't know. The jump from 40 to 47 is a much tougher leap than 47 to 54. If you look
that?
Historically, yeah, I do believe that, because that's that 47 is the last time you got 8 ounce gloves on.
Right.
So you're getting guys that are at the biggest they are possible, have the smallest gloves on. because then 54 you go up, and now you got those bigger gloves. You have more defense for protection. You got some more padding, you know, obviously for your glove and your opponent. So I think that ability to go up from 47 to 54 is a smaller leap than 40 to 47. And the guys get slower. 54 is historically a slower weight class than 147. So speed can kill there. And that's the thing about Crawford. You know, we always talk about the weight. He's got such a deep bag that even if he's not the bigger puncher, even if he's not the KO guy, you know, he's got other ways to win. It's not like he's not used to going 12. He can go 12, even though he's scoring these knockouts. He finishes strong. His conditioning's fantastic. He's year round in shape. So I don't think that's going to be an issue in terms of the weight. I'm more concerned about the age, because that hits overnight, and we'll never know until they step in the ring.
37, close to 37, out of the ring for a year. You can use that against him, or you can use it for him. It's a time off, but this is a guy we needed to see more. Like, he's a big name in boxing, and it's crazy that he's like, I think a lot of fans are like, oh, wait, he's 37. But just going back to like what Madrimov can potentially bring in there, everyone's like, oh, he's a tricky fighter. He could switch stances. He can, he's powerful. Yeah, but Crawford can do all those things too.
Crawford doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is like, this guy just doesn't better. So if Madrimov's going to come out there and switch stances, then Crawford's going to switch stances. If Crawford's going to go orthodox, if Madrimov goes southpaw, and vice versa. And Crawford has shown that he can fight both stances. Crawford has shown he has an elite jab. Crawford has shown that he's almost impossible to hit, and he gets hit with 21% of his punches while landing in the high 40s in his power shots. I mean, we've seen Crawford, what he could do. When it comes down to it, I just think he has more tricks in that bag. And will he get the late stoppage? That's why we tune in. And what happens after this fight? Does he fight Spence at 154? Does he fight Fundora at 154? Does he jump right up to Canelo Alvarez, who it's been very clear that's what Terrence Crawford wants, and that's very clear with the Saudi regime wants to do. It's a fun fight. It's Terrence Crawford. It's must-watch whenever that guy steps into the ring, especially coming off of the Spence fight. He's in a new chapter of his career, the final chapter. Of his career, maybe three or four more big fights for Terrence Crawford. I'm tuning in. You know that. You're going to be watching along on PPV.com. Those are our picks. You're sticking with Crawford late stoppage.
Yep.
Put some dough on that, bro. Plus 3,500.
I'm going to have to. Why? No reason not to.
Yeah, I like Crawford's decision. I think he will have moments where it looks like he can stop Madrimov. I like Crawford by decision, which you can also get at plus money over on DraftKings. Any final words, Chris, as I head off into the Santa Monica sun?
No, man, do your thing. I got ProBox TV tonight. Otherwise, I'd be right next to you.
I miss you out here, bro.
I know. It's not the same. Fight weeks are not the same without me. I understand.
It really isn't. I mean, the fans are asking for you, but we will ride again in Vegas for Canelo.
Yes, which is Baranga. Right around the corner.
Really is. We're basically
August is like,
there.
I feel like August is the shortest month of the calendar year. It goes so fast. It's just like...
Summer's over, man. Summer's over. August is the Sunday of summer.
That's a good way to put it. I never heard that. That's good.
I didn't. That's not me. Some guy, Ryan.
I know. I know that's not you.
Some guy on Twitter said Friday's June, Saturday's July, and Sunday is August. And we are now entering Sunday, which is still, you can have a Sunday fun day. You can still enjoy Sundays. You can still enjoy August, but we're
gearing up. So I have a saying that I actually did make up. I say, never let tomorrow ruin your today.
Oh, I've heard that before, though, Chris.
So Sunday, yeah, I say it all the time. So Sunday. You can still have fun on Sunday. Don't let Monday ruin your Sunday.
Don't let Monday sneak in and ruin your having 10 margaritas at the pool. Enjoy the fights. Order them on PPV.com. Join us in the live chat. Me, Lance Pugmire, Jim Lampley. We'll have a grand old time. We'll have plenty of content between today and Saturday. You'll be seeing me with Terrence Crawford and all the fighters, all the coverage on Inside Boxing Live's Instagram, YouTube page, my personal page, Chris's personal page, flooded with Riyadh season content. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Riyadh season. We out.
T Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.